Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to the SummerSlam preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray from What Culture to look ahead to this weekend's SummerSlam Premium Live event. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, but AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bonanza quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Andy Murray to look ahead to SummerSlam this weekend. We will, of course, be doing a live stream for it on our YouTube channel, so do join us for that for Saturday night / Sunday morning, depending on where you are in the world. But Andy, how are you feeling about SummerSlam, the first premium live event of the Triple H era?
A bit less good than I was 24 hours ago before the best match got cancelled. But broadly speaking, the build has been kind of mid, I think it's quite fair to say. Week-to-week television has kind of gone through this period where it's not like it's a disaster or anything. Sometimes on SmackDown, you know, you get segments like the Ronda Rousey, Natalya baby thing and all of that. But, you know, you get the odd catastrophic segment here and there. But TV's been broadly okay. Just not particularly exciting, I don't think. So to have the match I was most looking forward to pulled away is a cruel twist. Not of fate, because it's kayfabe. It's not a real injury, but of, I guess, writing. But yeah, the thing with these is always the same, isn't it? Because the card actually looks really good, even if the build hasn't been particularly thrilling along the way. So I am excited. I mean, the thing I always say about WWE is that when the build is mid, the show usually rules.
Yes.
It's kind of the opposite of how logic would dictate, and they're good at assembling lineups that at least make me go, oh yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So yeah, it'll be fun. It's on a Saturday, it's in a big stadium, so it's gonna look nice. Cool. Yeah,
it's one of those where people are very excited about this new era for Triple H, and yeah, one of the first decisions he's made is to presumably move the Rollins Riddle thing to Clash at the Castle instead. Do you think there's going to be any other creative changes, or as many of us seem to think here at What Culture, do you think the creative changes are going to be more sort of gradual? And certainly SummerSlam was probably already planned out for once quite far in advance under Vince, and therefore they'll probably stick mostly to what they were planning to do, and maybe if they are going to change plans, that'll happen in the subsequent weeks.
Yeah, I think so, because he inherited this position like a week before a premium live event, which means, you know, you have stories and feuds and character dynamics that are due to be paid off at one of the biggest shows of the year. You don't come in and rip everything up. You stay the course until a more natural starting point is after this, once everyone's on a fresher direction, once people aren't tied in necessarily to feuds that have been going on for a while, although, you know, there might be a few the feud must continue examples. Who knows? We'll see how it plays out. I do think that Triple H's changes will be gradual. I don't think that it's going to turn into NXT black and gold overnight. And it will be a slower process. I think he'll be quite careful about that. And rather than completely cutting away the product and replacing it with a shiny new one, that really suddenly you might risk alienating some people who like the way things are just now if you do it too suddenly. There are 2 million of them watching the shows every week, so they are there. It'll be interesting to follow. There was the report earlier this week that we covered on the news about how he wanted to make a creative splash at SummerSlam. So maybe he'll set some stuff up. Maybe he'll have a few big twists in mind. I'm sure Triple H will want to stamp his Triple H-ness on these shows as soon as he can. It's just this week really wasn't for that. I think if pulling the match, the Rollins-Riddle match off the card was his choice, it's not the best start for me. I understand maybe wanting to avoid like a DQ or a count out or whatever and prolonging it to the UK, but don't build the expectation of something happening and then pulling it away. For me, the card subject to change disclaimer should be someone's actually injured, guys.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, for like emergencies and stuff, not all we've changed our mind. To me, that's cheap. That's kind of conning your audience. I don't like it. And I kind of hope in a way, because I want Triple H to do well, I hope in a way that maybe this was a thing that was already in play and he's just decided to stay the course. Who knows? I am still looking forward to that match. It's just a bummer.
Yeah, exactly. And all may not be lost. We'll get to that in due course regarding Seth Rollins. There's only one place you have to start, and that is the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match. Last man standing, last chance, last time ever, for until the next time, probably. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. How do you see this one playing out?
I think Roman Reigns is going to kick his ass and retain and move on to pass the title over to Drew in Wales. That, to me, seems to be the direction. It's been quite ingrained in my mind that that's what they're going to do since Randy Orton went down and Brock came in as the apparent substitute. Because I don't think there was much danger. Like, Randy Orton, legacy wrestler, been really good in his role alongside Riddle, but I don't think there was any danger of him taking the belt.
No.
Wouldn't have made a great deal of sense, as big a name as he is in WWE. You'd rather use that to mint someone else. And I think that Brock coming in as a substitute kind of tells you a lot about that. Now, never bet against WWE putting Brock Lesnar over, right? He's the in case of emergency break glass option. This isn't really an emergency, so the case is slightly different, but I don't see any need to do that. And I think a lot of people would really dislike that as well. Triple H, in contrast to Vince, seems like a guy who's quite switched on with the audience and understands a bit more of what they want and what they want to see and what they don't want. And what they won't want to see is Brock beating Roman, who they broadly enjoy a lot. I think it would be seen as kind of a reactionary move, like a regressive move in a lot of ways. And I like Brock Lesnar, so I'm not just being a hater or whatever. I still get a kick out of his big spectacles.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about glasses either. I'm talking about the bombast, baby. The bombast. Yeah. I think Roman goes over, and I think he goes on to lose to Drew, who beats Sheamus to become the contender. And
probably.
I think they'll probably try and recreate the SummerSlam 92 magic, except with a Scotsman in Wales this time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Roman Reigns wins. I think Brock Lesnar probably needs to go away till WrestleMania.
Yeah, go and
year.
Chill. Go and chill in Saskatchewan, man.
Yeah, and
is that where he lives? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
slaughtering hogs all day long.
Yeah, that's a habit.
As long as they don't do the gimmick they did on that one Last Man Standing match, where is it Cena who tied Batista's legs together around
yes.
the ring post and he just couldn't get up.
Yes,
I'm like, well, that was a load of bollocks.
That's I just Yano have, stuff, that isn't it?
Maybe they get some. Some colour in this. Who knows? But
just don't do it hard way. Like.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's really easy. You've already established the guillotine choke.
Yeah.
He's an MMA fighter. He can struggle, but eventually get caught in it for real. And yeah, just, you know, whilst he's attempting to snap Roman Reigns' arm, maybe even leave his neck exposed, gets choked out. That's fine. Roman Reigns moves on to the next thing.
You know what would be really cool is if they did like, because the usual Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar match is like a Paul Heyman bomb fest, isn't it? It's finisher, 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 back and forth. And that can be really exciting. And then maybe there'll be some outside interference and all that. And, you know, it's kind of a proven blueprint for Paul. He's done that loads. But you can't really do that as much in a Last Man Standing match because you need to be down for 10. So it's not as flash, you know, you can't just end it. Like that, there's the teases. It would be really cool if Triple H wanted to start this off by doing some crazy, ridiculous stunt. Like someone gets buried under a section of the screen or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Believable, that wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
To put him down, put one of these Goliaths down.
Exactly. Like I'm at safely, obviously.
Yeah,
do it safely. But something like, you know, remember the Bobby Lashley Braun Strowman feud of like 2019 where they did stuff like that? That would be really
yeah.
cool. If Roman speared even if it was just Roman spearing Brock through part of the screen, it'd be really cool if they did a big, like, crazy stunt like that to set this era off and go, hey, look, this is a bit different.
Mm. Coupled with that, I have to ask you the obvious question, which is, will Theory cash in? And if he does, will he be successful? How do you see that one going? And I might as well talk about, prior to that, actually, US title match.
Yeah, so previously I had the prediction of Theory winning the US title and then losing a cash in. Pardon me, my throat went weird there on the same night. Now that Triple H, we know, has the pencil, I think I could see it going down a little bit different. It's a very Vince thing, that, isn't it? That pattern of booking to get one Rob and then lose the other. Seth Rollins at WrestleMania for his cash-in, it was flipped, obviously. He was successful and lost to Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. So he's done stuff like that in the past, flipped it around. I do think eventually that Theory does fail, but I'm wondering if now maybe they save it for a later date. Maybe Triple H isn't so trigger-happy when it comes to doing these big developments, bang, bang, one after the other on the same night. I think he'll at least tease something, right? Because he's been involved with these guys in these segments. He's been rubbing shoulders with Roman and getting his ass kicked every single week. I think he's 0-6 since he won the briefcase. So, you know, he's not had the best of luck, that man and his that man and his eyebrows and his briefcase. So I don't know if he's going to... Maybe we'll get the, you know, a good, they love making him look like a goober, so maybe they'll do the whole Theory is gosh, but like take him out before he has a chance to properly.
I had quite a fun idea for this, and I don't know whether
hit me.
Like, the thing is, I don't know whether making him a figure of fun is a good idea, but then again, I don't take him seriously as a potential world champion whilst the people who hold the world titles hold them the way that they do.
Me
like
too.
If they split the titles off, I feel it becomes far more feasible to just put one of them on it.
Sure.
Keep the universal title on.
I like how you called him It there.
Yeah.
like he's a cousin from the Adams family.
I'd have Lashley retain because he's one of your biggest baby faces on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And whilst you got the two titles on person, sometimes you're just going to have that be the big title.
You don't need to talk me into Bobby Lashley winning ever. I love the guy.
But why not have Theory lose, be a bit dejected, and then maybe with a backstage interview with Kevin Patrick, right, says, well, you know, the night's not gone my way, but the night is young yet. And I'm a man of my word, and look, these two bastards are going to kick the crap out of each other, and I'm going to cash in, right? And the match happens, the match finishes, and the cash-in doesn't happen. Nothing happens, right? And no one's going to be like, oh, we didn't even get a tease of a cash-in. Well, I'm going home grumpy. It's you're getting your big, like you say, big explosion for Roman and Brock. And then subsequently on Raw, we see exclusive footage, right, of Theory in the gorilla position with the little screen watching the ref. Hey, 9, 10, and he goes, turns to the camera and goes, this is it, guys. And right then, nailed with a super kick by Dolph Ziggler, right? And then you get the whole, a few hours later, right? And you see Theory, eyes pop open. He goes, oh, cashing in. And he runs out. Everyone's left the stadium. It's nighttime. There's a bloke just with a broom sweeping up. Going, what are you doing, pal? Yeah. Do you see which way Roman Reigns went? He's on private jet. He left about 3 hours ago, mate. Let's have a bit of fun with it because no one's believing it right now, are they?
You've literally turned him into R-Truth there.
Yeah.
I love it. Why not?
I mean, I think he's going to hold the briefcase for quite some time.
Yeah.
You don't want anyone interfering. Yeah. Maybe even post-WrestleMania he can still have the briefcase.
Before he eventually makes a tit of it. Yeah, I could see that, man. That's really funny. Sometimes you just need to laugh at stuff, don't you? And they're not above making him look like a dork, are they?
No.
Like,
look, got slapped on the back of the head and then hits him with a briefcase, who then no-sold it.
Exactly. Or... Roman Reigns, when your daddy went home or whatever, you know, he got totally buried. Well, it wasn't a burial, but it was a funny.
If your theory, it makes sense that you would have to maybe reassess the field after SummerSlam, after you realize, oh, that was my big shot.
You know what he could do for his next storyline if you want to keep him away from the world title for a while? Could reassess the Fiend.
Right.
Hey, drink Triple H will reassess the Fiend.
I do hope
bring him
so.
Home. Bring our boy home.
Let's talk about the women's world titles.
The Fiend, is he in that?
I don't think so.
I'm just going to crowbar the Fiend into every answer now. Let's go.
Which one do you want to start with? Let's start with Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch. There's a great history between them, obviously, at SummerSlam. Bianca Belair looking effectively for revenge for what happened last year. Will she be successful in getting that revenge for you?
Yeah, she's going to kick her ass.
Good.
She's going to kick her ass. I think it's the best story. I think it's the right outcome from this. I think that... quietly, this has been a good year-long storyline. There have been the odd little bits and bobs here and there where Bianca's maybe wavered. Certainly last year, not so much this year. I think she's been great this year. But storyline-wise, not her-wise, I think she rules. She's had a few roadblocks here and there over the time since she started locking horns with Becky. But for the most part, I've really enjoyed her title reign. I loved the WrestleMania match, obviously, one of the best matches of the year. And I think that her decisively, cleanly beating Becky in a great match here is the perfect end to that story, because it means that Bianca has finally shaken Becky Lynch off her back. That's gone. She's done. She's decisively won the feud, and Becky, if you want to resume the thing with her losing her grip and taking these kind of flip outs after matches to transition away from big time Bex and the outfits that look like she shares a stylist with her husband now, which is awesome, by the way. I love that. You can do that stemming from this. It's a good catalyst for that to lead eventually to what you assume is still the plan for WrestleMania, her that being heel Ronda against face Becky, which to me is how I'd book it if I had the pencil. And me and Triple H are the same guy. Bit of a scoop there. So that's definitely what's happening. But yeah, that's what I think is going to go down. I think the match is going to be sick as well.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they've got all this history to lean on. You can even do... a callback to maybe Bianca, Becky offering a handshake before the match.
Yeah.
Maybe even someone hits a big move. Maybe this time Bianca hits the KOD immediately.
It'd be cool if Bianca went for the handshake and tried to fox her. That would be good stuff as well.
Give him plenty of time. Let him hit loads of mad moves as they will. Bianca Belair is freakishly strong.
She's awesome. She should be the company's franchise player.
I agree.
Really. What doesn't she have?
And yeah, and then either you can have Becky potentially... go into a feud with maybe a returning Bayley.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just disappear, like you say, for a bit, or spiral again.
Become the Fiend.
Because by Survivor Series, I agree, you're starting to realign her into becoming a babyface. Because I agree, heel Ronda with the title versus face Becky
with the
maybe Royal Rumble win, if you want to do that. It doesn't have to be.
You still haven't done that, have you? You still haven't done that singles match. So there you go, boom.
And I know some people say, oh, you know, is that still, as viable as it was when people were talking about it a few years back? Yes, for me it is.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Maybe, you know, it's going to be really, really hard to make it as hot as that rivalry seemed. But
probably not going to main event, but...
No, but maybe a night one. Maybe a night one.
Maybe
kind of deal.
Keep forgetting there's two nights.
I'm still not used to this new normal, even though I kind of prefer it. And of course, you know, if Bianca retains... Oh, Rhea Ripley's over here, and that's really cool. So you got lots of options coming out of this, and I think the most exciting ones come from Bianca victory. Mm. And it's the coolest thing, isn't it, that Vince is gone? Because
yes,
the booking is probably going to get a little bit more logical, and it's not going to be at the whim of a 76-year-old man who's done the same thing for several decades. So we can sit here now, and we can earnestly go, this is a cool thing that could happen afterwards, and there's a possibility it might just happen.
Or someone else who has influence and power, inexplicably thinks Becky Lynch isn't attractive enough to be a world champion.
Oh, Kevin Dunn. Yeah, Kevin Dunn.
People in glass houses, I'll say. But you mentioned heel Ronda. Is this the night we see heel Ronda? She's challenging, of course, Liv Morgan for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah, this would be a good place to do it, wouldn't it? Because Liv has a big cult following. Big. People who like Liv Morgan don't like Liv Morgan. They're really into her. They love her. And she connects with a lot of people. You notice her crowd reactions have been really good as well since she won the belt. And they've been good before, obviously. But they've messed around with her a lot during her run as well. When they did the whole Lana storyline and all of that trash. And, you know, the Riot Squad... you know, I like Liv and I like Ruby, but that stable was not great. Fear more, Nikki, need I remind you. Yeah, this would be a good place to do it. Liv's a good sympathetic foil for her to turn heel on. It's kind of a shame if Liv loses the belt after a month, but at the same time, she's babyface. Babyfaces don't always need that long run unless you're going to build them up as like a Cena-like figure, right? Mm-hmm. Which I don't think is going to be Liv Morgan's role. I think she works better as a plucky underdog type who's got lots of spirit and heart, but if she goes up against someone like Ronda, who's meaner as a heel and more skilled in kayfabe, then that's a good story in and of itself. So yeah, it starts here. How overt does it need to be? I'm not too sure. Under Vince, it would be a very broad stroke kind of thing, wouldn't it? It'd be like Ronda would get a steel chair and beat her up before the bell or something, which is good, it's fine. But maybe the Ronda thing will happen a bit more gradually in the match. That would be some nice craftswomanship.
This might be a bit of me with WWE brain here, but I think this feud will continue.
Oh.
And I think Liv Morgan wins here.
Roll-up deal, perhaps?
Maybe, or maybe just genuinely, Ronda Rousey's kind of come into this a bit lightly, and she gets hit with the Oblivion or whatever it may be.
You know who people have been fancy booking Liv Morgan as over years? Sister Abigail.
So
sorry, I'm derailing everything.
I love it. So regardless, whether it's a roll-up, whether it's a referee missing a foot on the ropes, whether it's a just straight-up clean finisher, yeah, blah, 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 Liv retains. Z-Dug, Ronda Rousey. I think she's turning to the dark side.
Do you think she's joining the House of Black?
I don't know. What's after the SummerSlam? Do we know? There's nothing advertised, is there? It's normally like Extreme Rules, isn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing going on in, you know, nothing at all. I think you'd probably have to go over the Atlantic Ocean for that answer.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you've got Clash at the Castle.
Yeah, that's the one, baby.
But
that's
like, in terms of the next one for them,
that'll be the next one.
Yeah, probably like Extreme Rules would maybe be after that.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be, I've not looked at the calendar, but it's SummerSlam, Clash. What'll be after? Yeah, what's from there?
Hell, it is Extreme Rules. There
we go. Oh, there we go. Boom, boom,
October 8th in Philly.
Yeah.
Which is going to house Mania 40.
I would love to go to Philly.
Yeah.
Tough city.
Never been Philly. Cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak. The Flyers. Eh? Broad Street Bullies. All that. I know about hockey, so.
Yeah.
I don't know about hockey. I went to a game once. And it was ace. Just battered each other. You can't keep up with the puck, right? It's so small. Yeah. It moves around so fast. You can't keep up with the puck. But it doesn't matter because every 2 minutes, some guy will smash some other guy into the bar. And then, like, the game we went to, tangent.
It's like it's ice hockey boxing, isn't it? It's like one hockey, like chess boxing where they'd have,
they
like,
pull off their gloves and they just duke up. And it's like, let's go. This is sick. The game I went to was so funny. I'm on a tangent here, but
I love it. No,
this is the show.
You're fitting very well into the podcast.
This is the show. The game I went to, it was a Chicago Wolves game. They're like a minor league kind of feeder team based in Chicago. They play at the Rosemont Arena, famous wrestling building. And I think there's like five or six players on the field, and there was a big fight broke out. So two guys got into it, and then all their mates got into it, and they're all scrapping and pushing and barging and whatever, whatever. And then at the other end of the pitch, there's two guys nowhere near anything, complete opposite end of the thing. And they just kind of look at each other and go, scrap, and just fight for no reason. It's I'm not an advocate of beating people up in the street, obviously, none of that nonsense, but don't commit actual assault. But as a part of a sport, that was really funny and entertaining to me. I'm a sick guy.
So plotting this out going forward, I'd have Liv win here.
I've just inadvertently stolen our former colleague Ross's catchphrase there. I'm very sorry. That didn't mean that at all. I'm an idiot. Sorry.
Liv beat Ronda. Ronda snap. Maybe armbar her or, like you say, just get a chair, batter her.
Yeah.
That leads to maybe Clash at the Castle. The only reason I'm looking past that is because I'm thinking you could flip the title back to Ronda, maybe at Clash at the Castle, because in a reverse of what happened at Money in the Bank, Liv's now carrying an injury, her arm or whatever. She goes to the Oblivion and she can't hit it because whatever it may be.
Gets armbarred.
And then you get a big, big weapons match that can definitively have Ronda be the heel, retain the title. There's your championship for. I'm just trying to put a title on Ronda in sufficient amount of time for us to get that match at WrestleMania. And also, so we get Ronda Rousey versus Bianca Belair at the Survivor Series.
There you go. Makes sense.
Red versus blue, baby.
Of course, it's t-shirt time. It's coming over the hill now, isn't it? It's not that long away.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, let's talk about this bonkers Michael Hamflett's favourite match at SummerSlam. Undisputed WWE Tag Team Titles match where we've got Jeff Jarrett. What a weekend he's having,
wow,
by the
yes.
way.
Yes, he is.
What a weekend he's having. Jeff Jarrett is the special guest referee. Is it time for the tag titles to change hands? I'm not sure exactly how. I'm going to look that up, actually, how long the Usos have held this current reign for.
The belt. How long they held the belt.
But, yeah, what do you reckon?
Wow. Yeah, this match is interesting, isn't it? With Double J kind of lurking around because we're in Nashville. The old solution that WCW went to, that Impact went to. They went, screw it, it's Nashville, get Jeff Jarrett involved. his family has immense history there, obviously. So I think this is cute and funny. I liked him kind of bumming around on Raw with his guns out, going, hey, I'm the referee, don't forget.
And the shirt.
Yeah.
Week away, Jeff.
I know.
It stink, that.
Just wants to show you his weapons, doesn't he? His two biceps there. I think that this might be a good place to do the title change because it's not going to main event the show, which means that the Usos losing the belt creates the narrative. Remember, control your narrative.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a thing that was. It creates the narrative in the main event of Roman Reigns having to win to keep the Bloodlines dynasty intact or whatever terminology you want to use. So I think that creates an interesting bit of anxiety around a match that most people probably have Roman pegged to win. So if you want to tell a little bit of a story with that, it's good stuff. And then on SmackDown, Roman can come out and go, hey, Usos, you didn't get the job done. And then there's possibilities from that as well. Not necessarily an outright split or anything, but a different kind of dynamic, similar to what we've had before, but not in a while because they've been so dominant. I've run out of breath. I think that the ceiling for this match is high. Both of them are in really good form. I got fired up so much by the... It was like a 30-second promo the Street Profits did on the ring on SmackDown last week. They were so just ready to fight. And I was like, I am too. Let's go. And, you know, you can't not talk about this match without acknowledging the tremendous shape that Montez Ford is in. Oh. He is looking tremendous. I think that Angelo Dawkins is one of the most underrated wrestlers continually in WWE as well. You can't really call Ford that because everyone recognizes he's great. Dawkins doesn't get as much love. I'm showing him some love.
I agree.
I like him as the powerhouse of the group a lot. The match should rule. So let's go. And Jeff Jarrett is funny. He's funny. I like him. I like Jeff. He follows a lot of us on Twitter as well, so friend of the channel.
Yeah, I like Jeff, and I think you can utilize him well here and send the crowd home happy. Huge pair, but I think...
Who's he guitaring?
One, if not both, of the Usos. So my thought process here is kind of similar to yours. Agree, Street Profits need to win. Agree, it's going to be an absolute banger. Despite the fact we've seen these guys ad infinitum, this is it now.
Yeah,
I'd have them win and have the Usos do anything else other than re-challenge for the titles at Clash at the Castle. Maybe one more, because it's on British soil, and you can have Union Jack solo cups or something like that, they'll no doubt do. But that's it, because I've seen every permutation of these four men fight, right?
Yeah.
But agree, we already know what they can do. They did it recently, and I'd have an element where maybe the reason why the Usos get to guitar shot is maybe they're cheating, maybe the feet are on the ropes, maybe they count the pin. Jeff Carrot counts the pinfall on one of the Street Profits and then immediately waves it off because he realizes that the shoulder's up because he's better than the qualified officials that they have in WWE. Regardless, Street Profits win. They're the undisputed tag champs, which needs to happen because you need to give them a tag team run now because I'm already fantasy booking Montez Ford doing a solo run at WrestleMania 39, perhaps. But let's not forget Angelo Dawkins, I agree.
Yeah.
He's far too underrated in this team. And post-match, Usos, what are you doing? We thought you were an honorary Us. Guitar shot, and then maybe Jarrett can face Sami Zayn in September.
No, I think Jeff Carrot's going to move on to a feud with his natural nemesis, Bugs Bunny. After, of course, he's beaten Ric Flair's ass in his final match. Hey, listen.
We should really be doing a preview of that rather than this.
I wish we could talk about it. Can we talk about it? I assume it's going to be me, you, and Phil on Wrestle Culture tomorrow because everyone else is off. Can we talk about it on that?
We have to.
Oh, we have to, don't we? I really want to do a review of it as well.
Like we're sat here going, it's going to be a mad weekend. SummerSlam's on the Saturday. That confuses a lot of things. And yet, you think like, well, at least, you know, we're not going to be knackered on the Monday. We can watch SummerSlam, you and I, potentially.
Sure.
And watch it at our own time on the Sunday. Come into Monday morning. Oh, much sleep, lads. Nah, stayed up till 4 a.m. to watch Ric Flair's last match. We'll talk more about it on WrestleCulture, like
let's
you say.
Let's go.
But I just love the fact that they've gone, who should get as a special guest referee? Jeff Jarrett.
Double J. L. Double A. What a guy.
Always comes out smelling of roses.
He literally never loses. Jeff Jarrett, he might not make you a million, right? But if you send him away with a tenner, 1 year, he will come back with £11. That's what he'll do, man. $11, whatever your unit is.
Contender for match of the night in my book, Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin.
Oh, interesting.
I love Pat McAfee. I am never failed to be astonished by what he can do in the ring. I never failed to be astonished at how over he was on night two of WrestleMania. He was arguably the biggest thing on night two of WrestleMania.
He's a popper.
And yeah, this seems quite straightforward to me, but what about you?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to rule ass, isn't it? To borrow a phrase from Warhorse. this is. I have a complicated relationship with Pat McAfee. Of course, we're very good friends, no. I hate his commentary. Other people don't, that's fine. We're allowed, that's cool. But I can't stand his commentary, I love it. I love him at everything else. So I think he's impossibly fun as a wrestler. He cuts these great fired up promos. He's got this huge popping personality that transcends everything because you see how over he is. And obviously he probably had a bit of existing fame from his radio show in his NFL days. Good athlete, really fun in the ring. And Baron Corbin is such a good foil for him. Like, perfect sniveling WWE style heel who's a piece of work, and you know
that kick on SmackDown has replayed in my head about 20 times.
Yeah, it's like he's been training with Shibata at the LA Dojo. Big Baron Shibata, man. That's a joke, obviously. Happy Shibata has a nice ring to it, though. This should be it's like two guys who like Corbin has such a strong understanding of his role as a spoiler, as a villain, as a like a roadblock. And Pat is so like effervescent that this cannot be anything other than immense fun.
Have a load of fun in there. Do you know what? If they hadn't already done it at WrestleMania, I would have given Pat McAfee kicking out at the end of days.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Oh, I think you might do it here still anyway.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that the end of days kick out. I wish they'd made a bigger deal of that, right?
Nothing about it. And it hasn't informed any this road for Drew McIntyre. He's just cut ropes with his big bloody sword.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's really strange. And it's a shame because it's a really cool move. He's got the deep six as well. And I know he's been doing them for like 6-7 years at this point, but they're still awesome.
Yeah.
So hey, maybe he could do like a shooting star Phoenix Splash.
I do hope that despite financial issues, they've kept Seven Nation Army as well for Pat McAfee.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That was all the way up.
Jack White's going to get paid, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep that. McAfee wins. And I said it in the immediate aftermath of the Madcap Moss feud because I was like, well, where's he go from here?
Well,
it turns out he went, I want to fight the commentator.
Yeah.
But But Corbin needs to take some time off. He's earned it, hasn't he? And his stock is, like, after that, what?
Yeah.
There's not left.
That's right. Like, a bit of time off TV.
That's the Triple H thing I'd like to see more. If you're not going to use someone, just let them go away for a bit.
Take some time off, yeah. It keeps people fresh.
Don't wait till they get injured so I can miss them.
It's so grim, isn't it? It's like, oh, good, they're injured. That means I will miss them in the 3 months. It's so grim. But yeah, I know they've got, like, a lot of TV hours to fill every week, and that's fair. But... it's nice, missing people's nice. If Shinsuke Nakamura wants to take a couple of months off and go and visit his mates in Japan, which he was doing the other week, that's great, because he'll come back and he'll feel like a bigger star. Or if Sammy wants to go and do whatever Sammy does, or whoever you want to name.
Imagine a big, I've got far too galaxy brained here, but imagine a big teaser campaign leading into the Rumble where they're hyping up, I don't know, whatever number it may be. It's not 30, it's not 27, it's just a random number.
Number four.
Yeah, number four, right. And you're hyping it up and you're hyping it up. And then it's Happy Corbin. That's his big return.
You know what you could do? You could do number 13 and you could go back to the all-time great gimmick of bum-ass Corbin. What a great time that was.
Unlucky for some.
He was so much fun in that role. Bring it back.
Burnt through that so
number
fast.
13. Where's Corbin been? Losing all his money, becoming a scruff. Awesome.
Yes. Why great not? Idea that. From one celebrity to another, Logan Paul taking on The Miz. I saw some people preceding this. We've even suggested on the podcast that maybe this would work better as a tag match with Ciampa and, I don't know, AJ Styles, who has this weird relationship with Logan Paul now. Yeah. Do you think that would be preferable? And, well, do you think that's going to happen? And if not, Logan versus The Miz... a story of tiny walls.
Tiny walls. Yeah, I'm really dubious of this match being any good, unfortunately. As good as I thought that Logan Paul was at Mania, really strong grasp of, like, heel instincts in that match when he did the Eddie stuff and all of that. That's clever. Clever. he proved himself a clevery guy as a heel in that role, and... yeah, it was a tag match, so obviously it allows him to take some time out and stuff. He doesn't have that level of protection in a singles match. So the question of whether or not he would be better or not in a tag match is entirely valid and very logical. That being said, I think the bigger problem is the alignments with this match. I think that is a considerable issue. The brawl that started off this week's episode of Raw was supposedly done not to feel fresh or different, although it did feel fresh and different. But because WWE didn't want to air Logan Paul getting booed on his way to the ring for the first time that night. Now, obviously, he made his way to the ring later on the show, but it's not quite the same as when you see someone the first time, you have a stronger reaction. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that they're not particularly confident about this guy getting cheered, despite him engineering this apparent, like, creative control where he wants to be booked as the good guy in these rivalries. So while Miz is obviously an experienced WWE campaigner, a safe pair of hands, and whatever other cliches you want to throw in there, the story has been built around testicles. The funniest part of that was Maryse's handbag on Raw this week, which was two balls. That's good.
Yeah,
the rest of it's kind of stunk. I'm dubious, but celebrities kick ass these days.
That bar is ridiculously high.
Yeah, so like I'm not really going to sit here and go, it's going to be pish. It might be pish. I hope it's not. But I think the alignments are a problem.
I got your prediction. I think they are going to struggle. There may be sweetening, to be honest.
And Miz, like, for all his safe qualities, he had a stinker of a match with Cody earlier this year as well. So he's got it in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got it in him.
But yeah, maybe beforehand, just to try and tip the balance a bit more, have Miz come out and say, Tennessee sucks.
Oh.
Right. But I've got your finish. Okay.
Jerry Lawler.
And it's related to the thing you referred to earlier. So, referee goes down for whatever reason. Maurice is there because.
Oh my God.
Of course she is.
All right, NXT. Right.
You got the wall handbag, whatever you want to call it.
The wall.
That's been obviously featured in the past. That's been loaded with something. You don't have to have a brick in there, right?
Bad balls.
Because it's not going to be the finish. But referee goes down. Logan Paul turns around. Clonked with the whatever the balls. One, two, kick out, right? Referee, he's still not quite there. But The Miz goes, oh, bloody hell. and then spies what's the thing I've been saying on this podcast from day dot that Logan Paul arrived. You have to spot in every Logan Paul appearance, a bottle of Prime is his drink. He has no doubt said, I have to promote this. He drank it whilst he was signing his contract. He drank it on Monday, walking to the ring and chucked some into the crowd. That's not very COVID safe, but still. Miz will go, ha, I got this match won, babe. Don't worry, I'll hit him with a skull-crushing finale when he gets up. He takes a bottle of Prime. Maybe she's got a glass of champagne or something fancy. Clinks that. Big old sip of Prime. Logan Paul's stood up. They do the whole, what was it? Was it Drew and Taker?
Yes, the rising up behind.
Rising up behind
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big old sip of Prime. Logan Paul, big old kick to those tiny walls, right? And he spits the drink all in Maurice's face. She, oh, bloody hell, falls off the apron, turns around into, I don't even know what Logan Paul's finishing
well,
is.
Well, he's the Undertaker now, so it's a tombstone.
Right,
yeah.
That's that. One, two, three, there you've got everything. And then you can have Logan Paul on Monday, if you want to have him show up on Raw, say, hey, you got bigger walls than I thought, because when I kicked him, I didn't think you'd feel anything.
And then he joins the family.
And he joins Judgment Day.
Oh, spooky Logan Paul.
And that is just a way of me crowbarring in the final match, the No DQ tag team match. It is the Judgment Day. Damian Priest and Finn Balor, hopefully with Rhea Ripley. Great to see her back on telly on Monday. Versus the Mysterios, or is it?
Ooh, Electric Chair City. Is that what Nashville's going to be? The music is Nashville the music city?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all like country and stuff.
Yeah, you love all that.
Southern rock, all that good stuff. I don't listen to any of that. I don't know why I called it good stuff. I'm sure it is. recover your train of thought, Andy. What are we on about? I don't know if they're going to... I tweeted earlier, yesterday. It's been like a year and a half of these teases, hasn't it? Of Dirty Dom turning on Daddy Ray. I feel like the polar ice caps will have melted. Rey Mysterio will be 100 years old and will still be fantasy booking this stuff, right? It just... It's a fun meme to me at this stage. I don't see it happening too much. I think that a likelier scenario is an Edge return to maybe save them, right?
Or Ray says, I'm sorry, son. After the beating I took on Monday, I'm just not ready. Because they did the beating and then they did the follow-up beating from Rhea. Just can't do it, but... called an old mate of mine, and then you just end that vignette thing. He said he's written I'm coming too, didn't they? So he could write,
can I come too? Yeah.
Nissan Stadium. That's what he was finishing writing.
It could be the Fiend.
Imagine if Ed showed up in a Nissan.
And he was the Fiend. The Nissan had like spinning rims that were fiend faces.
A brood-themed Nissan. A
brood-fiend Nissan, eh? Well, I tell
it's
you what.
Rated R, isn't it? So he can be...
rated F for flipping fiend. Yeah, that's plausible for sure. Also, the Judgment Day, they're going to need a third man if we end up with Ray, Dominic, and Edge.
Ooh.
The Fiend.
Yeah.
The Flatty. Get him involved.
I just have Rhea wrestling them because she's just a badass.
She is. She's an absolute monster. I think she's great. I want to know her bicep routine specifically.
Days. Who do you think wins? It kind of has to be Edge, doesn't really, if he comes back.
I think Edge, if he comes back, I think maybe the heels if they come back because the Rey Mysterio's immortal. What did I just say? Rey Mysterio is immortal. Rey Mysterio is immortal.
I see.
And he can lose forever.
Yeah. But I think if Edge comes back, which I think he will.
Yeah.
He was going to come back on Monday and they went, oh, everyone knows that, so we'll just do it on Saturday.
What if Christian comes back?
The amount of people who've been booked to make the leap all of a sudden from AEW to WWE just because someone else is in charge.
Tony Khan went off.
5 years of contracts.
Yeah, TK went off on that. Busted open yesterday, didn't he? It was quite amusing.
Yeah.
I love all this stuff. I hope Triple H gets on the radio show and goes off now. Let's go!
Yeah, let's have it.
Let's go!
Finally, we said we were disappointed about no Rollins versus Riddle match. Doesn't necessarily mean Rollins won't work this card. Spoiler alert, I don't think he's going to work Triple H, as some people have suggested on social media.
Yeah, I think those people need to look into the thing that Triple H recovered from recently.
Literally left his gear in the ring at WrestleMania.
He literally almost died, didn't he? Yep. Like, the severity of what this guy went through cannot be underplayed. And I am very glad, obviously, that he pulled through it. And I respect him, like, immensely for being able to get back to this position. But, yeah, he's not wrestling, guys.
What was the interview that he did? Because, you know, cardiac event kind of masks just how close to losing him we were.
Yeah, they used that terminology initially because I guess they didn't want to put Triple H's, like, private medical stuff out there, which respect totally. But, yeah, he did the Stephen A. Smith interview.
That was the one, yeah.
Yeah, where he was like... When he
talked about, I remember the thing about percentages.
Yeah,
and he... I'm thinking, oh, my God.
It was really...
Death's door, yeah.
Yeah, really dicey for the guy. Horrible, especially, you know, not just for him, but his dad. He's got children and he's married, he's got family, so it's like, it's awful for them too. Triple H ain't wrestling Seth Rollins, but I think they want you to think that there might be something going down on the night.
So some people are saying Gargano as well.
Johnny Gargano. That would be cool, right? That would be cool because I think Gargano is a big Triple H guy. Triple H loves him. Triple H coming out and going, hey, Seth, I know you're pissed off. I know you're blah, 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 but I got just the guy. I think that'd be really awesome.
And yeah. Like, all you need is Rollins to come out and do his whole, oh, oh, and then say, oh, I'm sorry, no one wants to fight me. I don't know why he's dying now all of a sudden.
Seth Rollins and is then, here.
And then just a little breadcrumb, just one single breadcrumb. Gargano beats Rollins, let's say, or whatever happens. Yeah. Walking backstage, or he's doing an interview saying, oh, it's so great to be back.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And then he walks past Ciampa.
No, I'm don't.
Just saying,
no.
I'm just saying.
No! Unless you're reforming DIY, in which case, I'm okay. Ooh. I'm okay with that. If you're telling me we're getting
DIY
one...
DIY versus Street Profits.
If you're telling me we're getting one last final beat on the main roster, I am going to throw you out of the window in this room, which doesn't exist. I'm going to create it with your head.
I quite like it one final beat, well, but you know... But instead,
Ed Sheeran.
I'll cheer you up because instead of that, if it's not Triple H, which it's not, or Johnny Gargano, or Sasha Banks, instead, why don't we play a game?
It's time to play the game!
That is the game.
It's Tamina.
Oh, it's not. It could be.
There is nobody meaner.
There is nobody meaner, but Seth Rollins comes out.
Hey, Seth Rollins here.
But... does a little speech, and then a WWE legend, or alumni at least, interrupts him. I have the WWE.com Superstars page open in front of me. I have the alumni in front of me now. I'm scrolling through it. All you need to do, Andy Murray, to close off this podcast, is tell me to stop, tell me a number between 1 and 4, and that is the person that will, instead of Riddle, face
Let's
Seth Rollins
this.
On Saturday.
So, countdown. Stop! It's number three.
Number three is a very... I mean, can we do it again?
Is it like a murderer?
No, it's worse.
Oh!
It's Road Dog. I don't want this. Take
no,
it back.
I don't want that either.
Okay.
It's not... Stop.
Oh.
It's number one.
Okay. Number one. That doesn't work. There's another company.
It's worse than a murderer. Goosh. Goosh. Gosh.
Oh, there we go.
It's the Ultimate Warrior.
This could actually happen as well, the thing is.
What you got?
It's less funny, okay, but it is feasible. Seth Rollins. Come on, I'll fight anyone. Who wants to fight me? And he's interrupted. Please don't swear. By Karrion Kross!
Oh, boy.
Look what they did to my boy before. I'm fixing this right now. It's Triple H's second port of call after Sasha Banks.
That is extremely feasible. Extremely
It's rare that
feasible.
We get someone that actually could actually happen.
You've stumbled upon something that is really quite likely because you look at the difference in presentation. He was a clear Triple H guy and he got to the main roster and he was crap demolition.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really good. Good job.
Well,
we had to get
it.
Through Road Dog to get there, but hey.
I would. Do you know what? I'd accept Karrion Kross if Road Dogg came out and did one of his stupid bloody. Like, I used to love him when I was growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, me too.
But he's not the man he was.
No.
I don't have the same opinions on him as I had.
Yeah, yeah.
And imagine if he comes out and does all that shizzle.
What was it? What was
and
it?
Karrion Kross takes his head off and goes, I'll take that spot, thanks.
You know, the D-O-double-G, what was it? Always keeps it shiznit.
Yeah, it was, no, there was a shiznit in there.
And then he shagged the corner. He was 49 years old wearing a Portland Timbers basketball jersey. Portland Timberwolves?
Portland Timberwolves.
Timbers are the football team. Damn.
Yeah.
Soccer team.
So it's either kick that shiznit doggy style.
That's right. That's right. 49 years old. Ah.
But instead, it's going to be Karrion Kross at SummerSlam.
Do you reckon Karrion Kross kicks that shiznit doggy style?
I think so. I think I'd prefer him than anyone else.
Yeah,
so.
I think that'd be quite good, actually. I like his hair. I like his new hair.
Yeah.
Interesting. But can you imagine that entrance would look pretty cool in the big stadium?
That would look sick.
So, very feasible.
You heard it here first. Let us know your thoughts ahead of SummerSlam this weekend on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Don't forget to join us for our live stream on Saturday night, of course, and there'll be a review in the early hours of Sunday morning, no doubt, as well. You can also let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for hello.
You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including tomorrow, WrestleCulture, with a special SummerSlam quiz. But for now, this has been the SummerSlam preview. My thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.